Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
So we became pen pals with Charlie Manson. We got to talk about that. It's the Kendall and Casey Show, 93 WIBC. I'm Rob. Brad's in for Casey today. Jake Query from 107.5 The Fan, the midday show, noon until 3, Query and Company, joins us now. All right, so before we bring you in here, our old pal Robert Vain, a longtime political guru, he was just walking around the circle last week, and he came in, and we were shooting the breeze during one of the breaks, and I don't even know how we got on this, but we started talking about, because Vane's a big Manson guy. And so we started talking about various things. And he goes, you know who else is a big Manson guy? And, you know, when you hear that from somebody, Brad, you're like, you know who else is a big Manson guy? And I said, well,
Tex Watson.
Okay. No, I don't.
Crazy Larry.
He said, Jake Query. And I said, well, that's pretty wild. And so I don't know if he told me this or not, but it must have been. That's why I reached out to you. I said, yeah, Query got a letter from Manson when he was in the joint. And I reached out to you and we started
texting. When Manson was in the joint, not when I was in the joint.
Yeah, Query's never actually been in the joint. Right, yeah. And I texted you and you responded to me with the actual letter itself. And it is the most amazing thing. You brought it in today.
Show and tell, baby.
Yeah, you want to hand it over here, and sure, I'll hold it up for people in the YouTube chat. So just tell me everything. This is incredible.
You know, to say I'm pen pals is a little disingenuous, right? But the reality is this, to give you the abbreviated version, but I don't know how, Rob, or why, but I became fascinated by the winds of change of counterculture of the late 60s and just societally, right? I think people forget. And this was what was so interesting to me. Like, when you watch Leave It to Beaver, for example, and you think about, you know, Beaver Cleaver and Wally and, you know, yes, Miss Landers, no, Miss Landers, whatever. And then you do the math and you think, wait a minute. So that same kid, I'm not saying Beaver Cleaver,
right,
but that same era at 18 and 19 years old is then like dropping acid at Woodstock and heading out to Berkeley and protesting the Vietnam War.
If you look,
right,
at the television shows, what, the Beverly Hillbillies and Laugh-In overlapped.
Correct.
Those were on the air at the same time.
So like that, the seismic shift that took place in this country has always fascinated me. And, you know, one of the watershed moments was the Manson murders.
Right.
I mean, let's be real. So that in itself always fascinated me. And then the fact that many of the Manson girls, the followers, you know, these were not, I mean, it was kind of a mix, but I mean, you did have privately educated, well-to-do, trust fund kids that got swept up in this. And it's just, how did this all happen, right? So I became interested in that. And then in reading just
like
about
when
all of
that. You were a kid, you were interested in it? Or like, were you an adult?
I was like five. No, I'm just kidding. probably like college age, right? I mean, early adult. Hood. And so at some point I had, you know, I was aware of the fact, and I don't know how many people are aware of this, but that Charles Manson spent a great deal of his childhood in Central, yeah, Indiana. He was born in Cincinnati, but his mother followed a guy to Indianapolis. And when Manson was, I believe, 5 years old, he came with his mother to Indianapolis. And then essentially, because his mother had a lot of issues, he was essentially raised as a ward of the state.
Right.
I mean, for all intent and purposes. And so I was somewhere along my readings or research of Manson, I had read that he got more mail than anybody in the United States, you know, penitentiary system. And so I found the address to write to him, and I wrote him a letter.
Like you put it in a envelope and sent it to him, and
just like writing to Santa.
You just put attention Charles Manson.
No, I mean, I had, you know, you have to write, yeah, Chuck, you know, San Quentin. No, he was in the state California prison of Corcoran, which, yeah, is a common, most people think he was in San Quentin. He was not. He might have been moved, but when I wrote to him, he was at state prison of Corcoran. And you have to have his case number and, you know, the mailing address of the prison. But it was out there, right? It was public. So I wrote him a letter, and I literally just said, and I remember exactly what it said. I just said, "Dear Charles Manson, as a native of Indianapolis, I have one question for you. How much of your time spent in my hometown made you the adult you eventually became?"
That's it.
And that was it.
What year was this?
2002, I think.
Okay.
I think,
yeah.
Let me look.
Yeah,
here.
It's on the it's
Well,
on the...
So he wrote me back, though. At the time, I was working at WRTV,
yeah,
Channel 6. And I remember using my WRTV ad, because I thought, you know, I don't really, he doesn't need to know where I live, yeah. right? I didn't think he was getting out, but I mean, but you know, who knows, man? I mean, the guy has so many like zealot followers. It's, who knows, right? So I gave him my work address, and it was probably 7 or 8 months later that I was at work, and I went to my mailbox at the station, and admittedly, when you work in television, it is not, we called it jail mail. It was not uncommon to get letters from people in jail.
Yeah, we get those, yeah. Yeah, Rob makes me open it.
So that's how you two met, right? Yeah. So I go down and I see this and I thought, what in the world is this? Because it's made out to Jake's Quarry Incorporated, 1330 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana. And then I looked at it and it has a stamp that says State Prison Corcoran. And then I flipped it over and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was from Manson. And he basically in it just recounts everywhere that he was incarcerated.
It's incredible to look at. You let me hold it early. You've got it professionally framed. It looks phenomenal. I hope you have it in your living room or something.
It does not. I will say it's not next to family photos. it's interesting because virtually everyone that knows about it or sees it, the first thing they say is they're like, dude, that's like super weird, right? Understandably. And then in the same breath, they go, hold on, can I hold that? And then they're fascinated by it.
Jake Quarry is our guest. We're talking about his letter that he received from Charles Manson. See, I don't actually think it's all that weird because you're such a historian, and that always comes out on your show, whether it's sports or whatever. You have such a great grasp of the history of the city. The Manson stuff, it's right up there with OJ in terms of one of the four or five most historically significant events of the 20th century. I don't think it's all that weird.
Well,
at all.
I mean, look, the reality is this, Rob. The reality is that through the flippancy and the fascination and all of it, you know, people brutally lost their life.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, the guy is clearly, I mean, was, I should say, you know, a sociopathic. I know that he wasn't personally there when the murders took place, but you know, he was responsible for it, he masterminded it, all of it else, you know, everything else. There's nothing good about the story itself, but it is historically significant in my opinion, certainly socially speaking, right? So I'll read this to you because I
love that you transcribe that. Well, and I'd love to know how long it took you because I can't read any of that.
It's
pretty much illegible.
It took a long time. You know, it's not like getting a letter from the Zodiac, but it's close, right? So, just over the course of time, I was able to figure out what it's... I mean, it's not, you know, it's basically one run-on sentence, and there's some misspellings in it. But here's what it says, and I can read it pretty quickly to you. And keep in mind, he was thinking that 1330 was my address.
Right.
Home address, it was not. But he said, I lived at 22 North Meridian, same street you live on. It was my hometown in a lot of ways. I run Fall Creek Park, a gang called the Hoods, stealing bikes when I wasn't in 25th and Keystone BL, Juvenile Hall. Is it still there? I broke out there so much they put me in county jail. It was an old castle. 13 years old, I had spent a year in boys' school, Terry Hutt. I escaped in the court of the U.S. government, gave me a suit and tie, and sent me to Boys Town, to go to Boys Town. My U.S. courtroom, I signed a paper saying I could go out of state. The World War II court was in the same court. 1948, I went to Indiana Boys School, Plainfield, Indiana. The old U.S. Navy man taught me good. My ship was Cadets 8. I escaped a lot. I've always loved that state, and I left some for you, Charles Manson.
That's such an incredible piece of history. Like, I mean, you and I were talking about this. You are one of probably the only people around who has a letter, not a letter from Manson, but a letter about the state of Indiana and his tie to Indiana.
Yeah, I think very few people probably realize that. And you know, Manson's thing, and listen, I want to be very clear here. I'm not saying I agree with this, right? But he has said so many times in interviews, Manson had a vendetta against his upbringing, but more so he took that out and he manifested that into, I think he intentionally wanted to be as deviant as possible as retribution for what he thought was a system that failed him. Now, I'm not saying he's right in that.
Right.
But he, if you watch interviews with him or you hear him talk, he would say, you hate me because you raised me. I am a product of you. I'm a product of your failed system and you failed me. Now, I mean, there are thousands of people who had worse upbringing than Charles Manson that came out of it. I mean, they're that's a whole different talk show, right? But that was his. So, and much of the genesis of that ill thought in his mind originated in Indiana. Right or wrong, originated in Indiana.
Do you believe the helter-skelter motive?
No, I think the motive was, quite frankly, I think what happened was that Charles Manson was an aspiring musician. He was a decent coffee house singer. He met Danny Wilson, who introduced him to Terry Melcher, who was a record producer, the son of Doris Day, and said, like, oh, you know, let's do a jam session and Terry Melcher can help you out. And Terry, so he played in front of Terry Melcher, and Terry Melcher basically Simon Cowled him and said, look, you can't dance, you can't sing. You're decent. If you want to be in a coffee house, that's fine, but I'm not going to record you. And Manson really did think that he was the next big star.
He believed that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so he was so angry and vindictive over that that he then sent his followers into Terry Melcher's house, because he had gone to Terry Melcher's house for the right. session. So he sent his followers into Terry Melcher's house under the order of just destroying everyone and everything in it, thinking Terry Melcher lived there. What he didn't know was Terry Melcher had moved out and was subletting the house to his friend Roman Polanski, whose wife Sharon Tate was there with all of her friends, because Roman Polanski was doing a movie in Europe. Sharon Tate was pregnant, and so she had people there to help her out. And they went in, and it was all about trying to get back with Terry Melcher.
We could do an hour on this. Jake, this has been awesome, man. Make sure to check Jake out weekdays.
Hey, I'm on at 12 on the fan, by the way.
Noon until 3.
No Manson
Company.
Talk.
You're the best, Jake. Love you, man. Thanks. It's Kendall Casey Show, 93 WIBC.